This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home in a second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Great to have the company on this edition of Punter's Postmortem. We had high-class racing right across the country. It was a matter of where do I look next? But a terrific couple of days in Scone, the standalone, another outstanding success. And then, of course, back on Friday, we had the Scone Cup with a major victory for Darren Biederman in charge of the Blue Army at Godolphin there. And then more success for Darren also on the standalone on Saturday. And terrific to see Clearly Innocent. I don't know whether I... No horse is such a great home track advantage as this. Six starts at the Scone Racetrack for six wins at the Scone Racetrack. Formerly with Greg Bennett, arrived from Greg in terrific order for Chris Lees, and Chris Lees paid tribute to Greg regarding the condition he got the horse in, and Clearly Innocent will now probably go forward to a Group 1 in a couple of weeks in Brisbane, but it was a terrific couple of days. If you made your way to Scone, give us your thoughts. 1353 53. A man who was there, unlike many people, in normal people who just drove or got a bus or got there in normal sorts of transport. It was the Duff on the plane again. G'day, Duff.
G'day, TK. Yeah, it was another very successful carnival, and it was the pride of Scone, Clearly Innocent, that got the biggest cheer. Look, he, I reckon he can train on. If he runs well in that Kingsford Smith in a fortnight, he's going to be nicely weighted in a race like the Stradbroke, and he'll run well. But I just want to see him stamp his form on that Eagle Farm track.
Right. Now, I guess ratings people will have their opinion, but I'd like to get our listeners' opinion. 1353-53. That was career best, wasn't it, for Clearly Innocent?
Won this race last year.
But the manner in which it won this one.
Yeah, look, I don't think you'd get too many arguments. He's always been a little bit weak, the horse. He's never been a real eye-catcher. Mm. He's a funny colour horse. He has a little sweat. He's no real good-looking horse. But he has filled into himself now, and he's fully mature. To do that second up, I think there's only upside with him. Yeah, so, yeah, I think he's in for his best preparation.
Jeez, that's a bit hard. Some would say you're filled into yourself.
Exactly.
Look, we've got a galaxy of stars and experts on the program. Let's get to... Where do you want to go to, Jono?
Let's go to Dean.
Dean's just... solid. You know what you get from Dino. Winner after winner after winner. G'day, Dino.
Happy to be here, TK. Good morning.
Good to be here, mate. Caulfield, what caught your eye at Caulfield?
That was just a pretty run-of-the-mill sort of meeting, really. I think probably the biggest talking point was the absolute failure of Mongolian Wolf, who was...
Couldn't get a plane to tackle other missions.
So he was just going to bowl around and win at Caulfield and keep himself ticking over for the Queensland Derby, and he couldn't get out of his own way.
So what do we do with him now?
Don't know. He's still well in the betting for the Queensland Derby, but, I'd be very wary of him after Saturday's effort.
Yeah, it's a shame because looked to be maybe one out of the box, and one, it could have been one of the real attractions up there in Brisbane. Well, speaking of a bloke who is always an attraction up there in Brisbane, Josh Fleming joins us. Okay, Josh.
I'm not so sure about that, TK, but hello to you, Duff, Dino. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Josh.
Good, mate. Great action, the Doomben 10,000, back to the 1,200 metres.
It was.
I'm not too sure why, Josh, but a terrific result. Red Zell there, the Snowdens, and for Jimmy Byrne, at his age, his first ever Doomben 10,000.
Yeah, great to see. That was Jimmy's first Group 1 win since the Queensland Derby in 2008, so his first one in 9 years. Look, only two Queensland horses won on the day, and they were... Well, one was in a non-feature race. Rare Recurrence won the Class 6, and then Can't Buy Better, trained by Ben Curry at Toowoomba, won the Members' Handicap. Look, escaping that, the locals were cleaned up, of course. Red Reds won the 10,000. But Jimmy Byrne, he flew the Queensland flag, very proud there, and led all the way. Just having a look at the sectionals, boys, they ran quicker the first 600 and the last 600, interestingly. But yeah, they couldn't get past him. Counter-attack and Darren did both hit the line well, but probably fair to say Russian Revolution had his chance. Big run in her time, sitting wide. But yep, all honours to Reds, Al.
No, flop. That was the flop out of the day in Durman for me. Russian Revolution, every possible box seating, and actually gave nothing.
I think he was disappointing on Faith Valley, particularly for a 5-2 favourite, you know.
And a man who always gives his guts is Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Yeah, g'day, TK. When you've got as much to give as I have, you know, and I can afford to share it around. He probably was disappointing Russian Revolution on Saturday, but just goes to show you, three-year-olds trying to win at weight for age, especially the sprinting three-year-olds, he couldn't have had a better run. But
no.
Just going too keenly, though.
Yeah.
Well, Kieran McAvoy said that's his downfall. He just goes too hard within himself.
Yep.
He didn't sweat up anywhere near as bad as what he sweated up the day that he won the Galaxy at Rose Hill. But, you know, absolutely no excuses for him. But, boys, I suppose if you ask someone for a list of horses who you thought would win a Group 1, you know, 12 months ago, I'm tipping Red Zell wasn't on your list.
No, but it was an all the way. It was a beautiful time ride by Jimmy Byrne, who just got out in front, controlled the tempo, and, as you mentioned, he's first in nine. Now he's got to try and go on and try and win a Stradbroke. Dino, some things don't change. Doesn't matter what state. Well, maybe apart from New South Wales, but this bloke, Darren Weir, he chalked up, I think it's Group 1 number 8, by winning the South Australian Derby with a volatile mix.
Yes, he did, and he won it last year as well, the Derby, with John Allen. I think John Allen's the remarkable story of this. He won the Grand Annual Steeplechase the week before.
Wow.
And then he wins the Group 1 Derby. He's just become a bit of a phenomenon in the riding ranks the last 12 months, Johnny Allen, and volatile mix. Just had the beautiful run, followed Odie and the favourite wherever it went, and then he just peeled off its back and got the money.
Yeah. Glenn, big price winners down in Adelaide. I know we have big fields up in Scone and big fields down at Morphettville as well, but they seem to be big winners across the board. Well, when I say big price winners, volatile mix was $16. I think Vienna Miss was $81.
And what was the other one? Ida 2. It was, I think, $41 in its race there.
It was 100s in.
Not on the official price thing that came through. I think the best price that I saw.
So there was specking,
on the flow. You know, it could have went up 100-1, you know, during the week with UBet or something like that. But I think it was 51-31 on the on-course. Well, the flux that I was looking for on the screen, I'm trying to get used to your system up there, Josh, with the QOPs, the BOPs. You know, I thought they were rums there at one stage. But
you'd know all about it anyway.
And there's lines going up and down and sideways and backwards. And
yeah, so Mr. Squiggle's making a comeback, isn't he?
It's a little bit hard to get used to. And it's good if you want to have a really quick look and, you know, the firmers are on a downward sloping line.
If you want
to go straight to them, but... we don't have that system in New South Wales here at the moment, although, you know, I spoke to a couple of people on Saturday and they were under the impression that New South Wales were going to start this system where you take a number of corporate bookmakers, like off-course operations and on-course operations, and meld the markets. So that's what's happening in Victoria and what's happening in Queensland.
They meld the markets, Glenn, and what happens after that? You can compare it to the tab odd?
Well, I can compare it to the tab odds, CK, because I've got those in front of me at the moment. It's a system used by Dynamic Odds, which is a website there that people can subscribe to. And they've got a range of bookmakers there that they use. And it's basically their system.
Tab's listed on them as well, too.
Okay, so it's all in there. One bloke I'd like to give a little bit of a rap to, Ronnie, this morning is Andrew Atkins. He's riding so well. He rode the double on Saturday and Daisy Doom for his master and Ronnie Quinton. And winning the Dark Jewel, it was terrific for Ronnie. It was terrific for Andrew as well, because only as a junior jockey, certainly they could have put somebody else on. There's no claim there for him in that particular race, and he went on, got the job done. He also won the last on the Friday.
Yeah, he did, and he won the first on Saturday as well with Latour.
So he got a double on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, he did. So that was a big day for him. And
Do you like him?
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's a really good kid, and you know, you've got to give it to the owner and Ronnie. I think, you know, there might have been a little bit of pressure there. Like, he'd had a few goes on it, trying to win that group race on it. They stuck with him in the Millie Fox first up, the Coolmore. second up, and then I think he rode her in the Emancipation, and he rode her at Hawkesbury there. So, you know, they've stayed really solid, and it's really hard for a claiming apprentice, you know, to keep a ride through group racing. But that's Ronnie's style. He likes to educate his jockeys, and then they can't win them if they don't get the opportunity. And he paid them a big dividend there on Saturday, because I thought it was a terrific ride. Yeah. I know she had a good barrier, but he just relaxed her and presented her, and I think she's a bit of a rat bag as well. Right. So he knows her well, yeah. And good luck to them. They got their result.
And that's not taking anything away from your star at the moment, Beau Mertens, Dino, who just picked up another treble, I'm pretty sure, at Caulfield on the weekend. He just continues to make every post a winner.
Yeah, he does, TK. A little bit
we need more, though, don't we, I guess? It's always great to have some, well, I call them star apprentices going forward, but we need plenty more.
Yeah, I think we've got three or four at the moment down here, and just that Bo's had the phenomenal run, and he now leads the premiership by a couple. He doesn't ride. He's now suspended for about 10 days, but in that time there's only one city meeting, and Craig Williams will be interstate, so there'll be no change to the premiership title race till they go around again Saturday week.
Josh, let's have a look at the Doomben 10,000. Yeah. Obviously, Red Zill, virtually all honours, really. I mean, yep. But we mentioned Russian Revolution. Let's go through the field and think, you know, what did you make of the race?
I think headed towards the strap break, the obvious two that hit the line well were Counterattack and Darren. Red Zell and Russian Revolution won't be going there. They're going to the spelling paddock. Look, in her time was a great run. That was her acid test, and she drew poorly. She drew 11 in a field of 13 and sat wide all the way. Did a great job. She was only beaten three lengths. So look, all honours with the winner. And as I say, they went sub-35 the first 600 home and 35-6, so you know, they went hard enough and a couple did make ground, but yeah, all honours with the winner. But I think probably going forward towards the strap break, Counterattack and Darren seem to have the flashing light on, and I love the run of Inner Time, has sat wide all the way.
Yeah, Duff?
I'd have to say, you know, Counterattack, I've been on his back every start. Yeah.
It was a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run. He ran well. That's him. He needs this, the jar out of the track. He needs cover. He got it, he was presented, and he did what he can do, but he just can't crack it for that elusive group one. And Darren's a beauty. Mm. He'll be better in a handicap because he's just a, you know, he's a little fella. And if he gets a softish track on the Stradbroke day, I know he's already been through.
He'll be getting that.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah. So, look, he's been through a Sydney Carnival and everything, so he's still going to continue to go on that upward spiral. But judging on Saturday's performance, I'd suggest he's still in the picture there. So, look, as far as the Stradbroke concern, I suppose we're still going to be looking at how Blackheart Bart comes through the Goodwood.
Yep.
And clearly Innocent, all he's got to do is tick himself off at Eagle Farm in 2 weeks' time. And the timing with him is absolutely perfect. And, I don't know what happens with a lot of these, you know, other horses. Like, you know, her time was great, I thought, on Saturday. She's a beauty.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Chris is even thinking with the horse that won the other day.
Well, Chris is going to the Kingsford Smith with Counterattack. Yeah. And Darren looks to be ideally suited as a Stradbroke sort of horse, according to Regan Bayliss.
Mm. New Universe is an interesting horse to see what sort of plan he's got hit for him for a winter.
Yeah. Mm. What's the market indications there, Glenn?
TK, do you mind? I'm just on the phone here to the IT service department.
Okay, mate.
My laptop is in awful dramas.
That's all right.
I've got a market here. We've got Blackheart Bart at $9. You've got Clearly Innocence into 11 now. He was 26.
Yeah.
He was 26 as they moved into the barrier there on Saturday. Counterattack, McIntosh at 13. Darren, 15. English, I think, who's gone to the paddock, 17. So be wary if you want to back her. Hey Doc, how's he going? Dino to Hey Doc, 17.
Yeah, he's well, he hasn't raced what since the Doncaster.
Yeah.
He had an exhibition gallop Saturday between races.
So he's
kept fresh.
He's in work anyway.
Yeah.
New Universe, that's the Kiwi that won for Chris Waller. He's interesting. His next move, Russian Revolution Paddock now.
Yep.
Secret Agenda, Silent Sedition, Voodoo Lads there. Artistry will probably, I don't know whether she heads up there. And then we get out to the long shots. So, it's an interesting Stradbroke.
Yeah. When you say that, how did you know Clearly Innocent was $26 just before they moved into the barriers? Did you launch them?
I had a look.
Did you notice that, Dino?
Rich get richer.
Yeah. But look, Arnie has to repeat that sort of effort and improve a little bit, and you think even the $11 is worth the gamble. But the big question mark here to the panel is the Eagle Farm surface,
correct,
the Eagle Farm track. And Josh, can you sort of just give our listeners a little bit of an insight?
Well,
when there's no rain, there seems to be kickback.
Correct.
It's a shifty sort of a surface.
And
some horses just won't like it.
Well, that's right. That's right. I mean, look, the last meeting we had a downgrade from a soft 7 to a heavy 8 with no rain whatsoever. And we're running 115.5 for 1,200. If the meeting was held over the road, the track would have been a good 4. So, well, there's a big difference between the tracks, obviously, and whether the Doomben form can carry over to Eagle Farm, I suppose only time will tell. And it seems to me the punters are voting with their feet. The turnover at the Victory Stakes meeting, to be bluntly honest, was low. Look, people, I think, are nervous about the track to bet on it with any great confidence. A lot of people I speak to, you know, they're not too sure. They're not betting early. They want to see how the track plays during the day. The track, I think, the last Saturday meeting was fair. Obviously, it was wetter than perhaps what it should have been, and they were getting into the track, of course. From what I can gather, it's obviously sand-based, and the roots don't go into the ground very far, which means they're able to rip the track up and mark the track, you know, easier than what they would, say, across the road. Doomben's been unbelievable the last couple of years. Like, the track there has just been incredible for racing in Brisbane. It stood up so well. Yeah. And, look, I heard a whisper that they've spent a little bit more money on Eagle Farm the last couple of weeks. How true that is, I don't know. Whatever they've done with it, hopefully it's going to work, and we'll find out when we get there to the Kingsford Smith meeting in a couple of weeks.
Okay. I thought one of the most impressive winners on the weekend up there was Tangled, who's now a $6 favourite, Josh, and for the JJ Atkins, which is always one of my highlights of the carnival in Brisbane, the JJ Atkins. It's a terrific race, and Tangled was just super impressive winning the champagne.
He was the only winner to not be in the first four on the home turn. Look, obviously, he had the tempo to suit because She's Our Star went hard. Ours to Keep did a great job to go quick in front and stick on. Stitchcraft sort of had the trail behind those two and then went forward to join them just before the home turn. And it was always set up for something to come from off the speed, and it turned out that Tangled was a bit too a good lay for all two. Hoi Ying, he did a good job, the second horse of Gary Moore's. He was a mile back to 1,200 and did a good job there. But that was the only winner all day that wasn't in the first four on the home turn, but obviously the tempo did help there, didn't it, Duff?
Yeah, it certainly did. Yeah, look, he's a horse that sort of got the money at Wyong there, and you thought, oh, well, he's on his way, but you wouldn't have thought I'd be a favourite for a JJ Atkins, but you had to be impressed with what you saw there. He's got a very stout pedigree, being out of an Oaks winner. He was back from 1350 to 1200. He looks like he'll eat up a mile, and even the second horse was back from a mile there, all to Hoi Ying. So I think your local two-year-olds don't look up to the mark as far as this race is concerned. The Kiwis are the ones that they're all raving about, so I don't know. We'll probably see them next week.
To be honest, I think the best chance of the locals is a horse that was beaten here at the Sunshine Coast yesterday, a horse called Capital Gain. He's proving very frustrating for the punters and for his owners. He's been a beaten favourite a couple of times. He's his own worst enemy. He gets back and he gets into trouble and he relies on luck. That's his racing pattern. But some of his runs have just been beyond me at a mile on the big track, and he's ticked the Eagle Farm box on that rain-effective track that he ran so well. He's got a good win in him. He's proving frustrating. He's got all the ability in the world. I can only assume that he's going to that race. His run here at the end of 1,400 metres yesterday was eye-catching, yet again, as he has been on so many occasions. He's only won one race. He could so easily have won three or four. I don't know what price he is.
$15.
Yeah. He seems to me, as far as our horses, I think he's our best chance in that race at the moment.
And this time of year, Dino, it's all about timing, and obviously there's a sense of timing about Tangled, you know, trying to get your horse ready for this JJ Atkins.
Yeah, and Chris Waller knows the path too. Yeah, he's done it well.
Does.
He's done it well in the last three or four years. He's always had a major contender, and he looked pretty good to me.
It's a problem though. We don't want our major track in Brisbane, that being Eagle Farm, to be a specialist track. We want your major track to actually be fair for everybody. We don't want to go back to the dark old days, Josh, where we had creakers, you know? Like,
yeah, look, the form is proving
to be your age, TK.
Hey, by the way, that was way before my time.
You
all
just
right?
read about it, eh?
Yeah, I read it, and Rob Gallegos reminds me about it, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you want it to be, you want your major track to be your headquarters where grand finals are run and everyone gets a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting that it seems to me the track's done full circle, because when we kicked off on the new track about this time last year, you know, it had some teething problems, as all new tracks will have. And you'll say, well, in 12 months' time, we'll have a great track here. Over summer, it was outstanding. The track was going really well. And for whatever reason, we seem to have sort of gone back to where we started. And, you know, we've had to transfer a couple of meetings from there. And, yeah, let's just hope that we get there in a couple of weeks' time and it's okay.
Seems to be a recurring theme of these sand-based tracks. They're great summer tracks. We've got them down here. We've got three or four fantastic summer tracks. But when you need them to be really tough, they go missing on you.
Yep, that's it.
Well, that is a shame, an absolute shame. And just regarding Eagle Farm making such a wonderful debut, I remember... clearly, Duff, the day when the Kensington track opened and the jocks came back into the saddling yard, and I'm sure that Juan Antonio Samaranch phrase got mentioned, the best ever.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to do. Look, it was a bowling green that day.
Yeah, the best
track.
Ever.
Not for long.
We always bite our tongue now with the new track, so we're all saying the Newcastle track's the best ever, and it's taken off pretty well.
Yes.
But we're all holding our breath. Just wait. We won't go off too soon, the old early crow. But
I reckon the revelation in Newcastle's been the inside track, how well it worked.
It held up.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
It threw some bad weather too.
Yeah, it had a lot of work.
Yeah, through some really bad weather. We're approaching 9:30 already on Punters Postmortem. We're going to take your calls directly after this news and sporting headline update with Gemma Cutting, fresh as a daisy after a couple of days in Scone.
I'll go with that. Fresh is a good way to describe it. Ilstar Corey Norman has limped off midway through the second half, adding to a forgettable day with Parramatta going down 48-10 to the Roosters. Norman left the field with a grade 2 ligament injury to his right knee, denting his hopes of an Origin debut, with the sides to be picked next week. Queensland Origin coach Kevin Walters told the Big Sports Breakfast this morning they'll definitely select Jonathan Thurston and give him every chance to prove his fitness ahead of Game 1. 21-year-old South Korean Siwoo Kim has become the youngest winner of the Players' Championship. He shot a 3-under par round of 69 to finish at 10-under. Ian Poulter and Lewis Oosthuizen have finished tied second at 7-under. Adam Scott previously held the record as the youngest champion. He won in 2004 at the age of 24. This year he's finished at 5-under and tied 6th. The Golden State Warriors have clawed their way back from a 25-point deficit to beat Patty Mills' side, the San Antonio Spurs, 113-111 in Game 1 of the NBA Western Conference Finals. And Rafael Nadal has claimed the Madrid Masters to make it 3 straight titles, defeating Dominic Thiem 7-6, 6-4, with the French Open just a week away. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one breeding stock sale, the Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 25 and 26 on the Gold Coast. Over 550 lots by a record 95 individual sires, including 19 exciting first season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Piero, Zoostar and Peggy Jean. Catalog at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast. The future is here.
At Bing Lee, for a limited time, purchase a selected washing machine and get it delivered, plus the packaging, and I'll wash it taken away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
Sky Sports Radio presents some of the best country racing.
Stampede still in front. Life Less Ordinary, I don't think we'll pick it up, will it? Stampede is in front. The post is looming. Stampede all of the way in the Wagga Gold Cup.
The Wagga Cup Carnival might be over, but this Friday we're back for the testing 2500-metre marathon. Race morning at 10, catch the tips from John Scores, followed by all the racing action from Wagga on Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
And Josh Fleming's on the panel along with Glenn Munsey, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey and myself, TK. Munz, I wasn't being rude, mate. I thought you had some issues, but you're back with us now.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I know you've got some issues,
but
I mean technically.
Plenty of issues and plenty of baggage. no, I'm back.
You're back, good.
If anyone's... Boys, you all deal with computers, of course, at different stages.
Of course.
And then you have to deal with IT. Now, they're lovely people. But my computer knowledge, you could seriously put on your small fingernail with a paint roller. And if for some reason, I can access my system, which is ideal with the betting system. I can't access it through Google Chrome, but I can through Internet Explorer. Well, that's like telling me how to split the atom. You know, and I'm sitting here and this poor bloke's trying to explain it to me, but we're up and running anyway.
Okay, good.
I did hear you talking about the track there, boys.
At Eagle Farm.
No, but Doomben on Saturday. Interesting point here that Kieran McAvoy raised, and if you have a look at him after the race on Stampede, they don't knock the clods in the back straight. The clods are only knocked in the home straight. Did you know that?
No, I didn't notice that, I'll be honest.
Yeah, well, if you have a look at the interview that he's doing with Chantel Buckley, he's sort of pointing behind him. And I asked him on Saturday night, did you drop something? And he said, no. He said, I could have went down the back straight five off the fence. Such was how badly cut up it was.
Right.
And that's... I didn't know that. I didn't know that they only knocked the clods in the home straight. There was eight people knocking the clods in there at one stage on Saturday. But they don't travel around the course.
There's 1,000 do it in Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, there was one during the barrier trial the other day, nearly got run over.
Yeah, we saw that, yeah. But I guess, you know, labour's more expensive here, but, you know, it's a big, big industry. We deserve to have tracks in pretty good condition. 13:53:53. Let's start taking some calls. We are all ears to Larry. G'day, Larry. Well, thank you. All right, we've got a little bit of an issue there with Larry, who just wants to talk about the Brisbane Carnival, so we'll... get that worked out with Jono. And just quickly, Dino, if I can, on Bo Mertens, he's actually he's knocked back the ride in the Goodwood to stay in Melbourne next week, but then he got a double suspension.
He did, TK. He was stiff with the first suspension. It was the same race.
Yeah, I think he blew up a bit about the first one, and then he copped the second one. Yeah.
He could nearly appeal it, but there's no benefit to, like, he wouldn't get back for this Saturday, so there's no midweek metro meeting the following Wednesday, so he'll ride Saturday week. But yes, he did cop the two suspensions in the one race, that's for sure.
So it was Bassett, wasn't it?
Bassett he was going to ride. He's a 20-1 chance, I think. Yeah.
He's owned by Paul Green, who coaches the North Queensland Cowboys.
Indeed. And I think he had a good chat with Mick Price about it, and I think Mick said, well, yeah, I'd sort of agree with you. I'd stay in Melbourne if I was you. So, not a real free tip on Bassett.
No, we're not going to be launching into Bassett. It'd probably win by five now.
Probably.
Just shows. Let's get back to the open line. Sorry, Larry, you're on, mate.
Yeah, I was just watching the Brisbane races Saturday. Now, straight on the back of Brisbane races, you had Kembla Grange, about 3 or 4 minutes behind them. They cut Bernie in half about three times. They were doing the interview after the Doomben 10,000. Strike me pink halfway through the interview. Hang on, we've got to go to Kembla for some lousy maiden at Kembla.
Now, Timmy.
No, Larry.
No, it's not Larry. Timmy, it's Glenn, mate. Yeah, I am going to raise a point today with Sky about our use of social media, about all of the interviews to be posted on social media.
Good
because
idea.
We have a situation now. Races have been running terribly late. Now, the clock is there as the clock is. You have situations where races run late. Now, I'm going to bring up a point today that all of the post-race interviews, wherever we do them, are posted on social media. So you'll have the opportunity to go to the Tab app to look at the replays.
Yep.
The social media is posting the last 600s of most of the races, and then they will post the post-race interviews because there are just times where we cannot actually have them there. We had situations where we were crossing the Kembla as the last horse was going in the barriers.
Yeah, well, you want to try and give a market update. You even would like to even see
him
parading.
And you have situations where, Adelaide ran terribly late for the Derby on Saturday.
Shocking,
again.
Yeah.
We had a race at Canterbury last Wednesday that ran 8 minutes late because, that's just the nature of the industry we deal in. You know, horses misbehave or whatever. There was a horse...
But Glenn, they're invariably going to run late everywhere you go.
Well, they shouldn't be running late, Larry.
It's not Larry.
Everywhere you go. But my point is that do they need to be covering, say, Kembla Grange when you've got a good...
That's a contractual obligation.
You've got the Doomben 10,000, Yep. And you've got the big Scone Carnival. Why don't they punt one of those other low-grade meetings to Sky 2 or something? You know, give the punters something what they want to see, you know, rather than being greedy and do half the show each.
Yeah, well, we have a contractual obligation to have two New South Wales meetings on of a Saturday.
Yeah. No, it's Glenn's fault, though. Larry, yeah. Tim, yeah. or whatever, Tim. But we're doing our best. It's just a lot of product to get out there. It's not ideal. I understand that. I don't even believe it's ideal, but that's... Unfortunately,
I
hate to say this, it is what
TK.
It is. Yeah, so do I, mate, because I like, you know, and through a, you know, theatre, drama, celebrity sort of trying to create good feel about making some good telly or whatever, entertainment value, you'd like to stay with the celebrations, but we move on. But it's a shame, but that's the way it is. Hi, Sean, good morning.
Morning, guys, how are you going?
Good, thank you, mate.
Oh, I just wanted to speak to Dino.
Go.
Yes.
I was just wondering if you'd be able to send me your bank details so I can send you the sling for the tip on a volatile mix, mate.
Always available. Just
PO Box 4168 GPO Sydney.
Thank you, Glenn.
No worries.
What price did you get? Did you put it on top?
No, we mentioned it a few weeks back.
Yeah, I picked it. I was listening to the Melbourne preview on Saturday, and Andrew asked you who you liked, and you said one at a bit of odds with volatile mix.
Good on you, mate. Well done. Sean, that's why, you know, you should be listening always.
Out of a man called Utopia.
Good on you, mate.
The good story about volatile mix is I thought he'd win the lead up to the derby, so I thought, well, he'll be very short after that.
Yeah.
So I locked in at the $11, and he paid $26. Yeah.
That's always a good way. Hey, getting unders.
There was some chance of him winning then, wasn't it, TK?
Getting unders is always a really good sign.
It was only $11 on Saturday morning, so it wasn't a bad drift on race day.
$16, bucks, I reckon.
$26 on the Parimutuel, wasn't he?
$24.80 in Sydney.
Is that right, Ron?
$16
fixed. No, I missed it, Dino.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to keep track.
That's a rarity.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I was sort of in Scone and no network and all that sort of stuff.
Only five courses of China Doll yesterday instead.
Jeez, you should have seen him launch himself at the party pies when they arrived.
You blokes have been in there eating all day. Lucky that bloke wanted to, the bloke at Curry and the pies wanted a selfie with Slats.
Yeah.
We had to hold his tray of pies.
We held the
pies. He'd wait in light after
he
that.
He didn't know who you were, TK. No, who Slats was.
I'm happy with that. I ate half a dozen pies in the meantime. Alan, good morning to you.
Morning. I was a question for Dean.
Yes, Alan.
Two missing jockeys, Dylan Dunn, Nicholas Hall.
Well, Dylan Dunn's officially retired.
It's incredible.
It is a shame.
It's a real shame.
Constant battle, and it actually his health suffered to the extent he got glandular fever, and he's into a new phase of his life. He's become a financial advisor and started a business already with his uncle.
Good stuff.
And Nicholas Hall I think you may as well say he's retired too.
Yeah,
He's a good mate of mine. He's started a health and science course at Melbourne University, and he had a lot of trouble with his hips, and he's waiting on more hip surgery. And unless that was a raging success, I think he's probably retired too.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, question answered. Thank you.
Yeah, good. We'll often bag their judgment, but certainly never their courage, Dino. And when you look at the older blokes still going around at the highest level, you keep thinking, my God, how durable are they to start with, you know?
I think it's a lot to do with that they're actually a jockey build. I feel like the jockeys now are taller.
Good point.
And that's why I think Nick has a lot of trouble with his hip. He rides so short. He has a lot of trouble with his hips. This will be his third hip surgery. It's nothing to do with falls. It's just wear and tear. And... he rode a winner at Sandown in February, and he rang me the next day and he said, I can't keep doing this. It hurts too much.
So not being a jockey, right?
Mm.
If they rode a bit longer to ease the stresses on their body, would it be a disadvantage compared to the riders that ride short?
It's a really interesting point. So they certainly can, Duff would probably be better prepared for this, but... Yeah, they certainly seem to feel it gives them an advantage, getting that weight right over the neck.
It was Gavin Duffy who started it all, by
the way. He was barred down here.
Yeah. Pat Lawler barred him, didn't he?
Yeah. Pat Lawler did.
I remember when Gavin came back from the UK.
There's not many rides shorter than Jeff Lloyd.
Yeah, but he's tiny,
he's
Glenn.
He's only a little man, isn't
he's
he?
He's tiny, Glenn.
To see, he looks as though he's tucked his legs up underneath his bum.
Yeah, oh, no
when
doubt.
He rides. And, you know, and some ride longer than others. Some ride toe in the iron. Some ride, you know, feet in the iron. It's just whatever makes you comfortable. Huey Bowman is a whole feet in the iron,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas, and, not so short either.
No.
He rides so short. So
he can definitely kick them still.
Yeah.
And he's our leading jockey in the land. So should there be something said for that? You know?
Mm. Yeah. Kano, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. TK, Dino, Duff. I've got a question for Munzee.
Certainly.
Munzee, I'm trying to put a bet on. I had a bet on Saturday on Sar Ritson in the last in Adelaide. Tried to have 100 on the win at $16.
Yeah.
And TAB machine says to me, exceeds limit, try 31.
Yep.
So I try 31, I get set. I try to have another 31, try 19. Try to have 19, got it on. And try to have another 19, try 3. You know, I got the $16, but I couldn't spend me 100. You know what I mean? Why does it do that?
Because you're dealing with a computer to start with that has human input into it. So it is not a you're not dealing with a human on a face to face or basis. There are limits put into the system. And
do they change that quickly that he couldn't have just had 53 on that?
Well,
when
you're dealing with the number of meetings and the number of horses that we're dealing with on a Saturday, it takes the whoever's in there looking after Adelaide, for example, it may take them, 30 seconds or whatever to realise that limit. They have to acknowledge that limit in the system. Therefore, then they have to bump that limit up.
Oh, let them on, I say.
So it's not just a matter of, free
Come
fraud,
on, Glenn,
get on
let
what
them
you
on.
Like.
Fix it up, Glenn.
Come on, Glenn.
The last race of the day, give a man a chance.
Trying to get set, I was only trying to have 100 on the $16, which lobbed and paid $15 on the fixed anyway, $12.30 on the toe.
I'm with you, Kano.
Yeah. I tell you, I'd come
in. So to put it simpler, you're saying the machine's there to say, well, we'll leave this at $15 till we lose $10,000 or something. So someone's already backed it to win $9,000 or something.
Yeah, it's got to a stage where, the limit, as you said, might be $15,000 and it's at $14,300. It'll let you to win it the first time.
Which is no different to the old days when you used to go to the bookie standing on his rostrum. He'd go, I'll let you on for this and blah, blah. But mind you, it wasn't.
You'd rather he say no to you than a computer, though.
mind you, they weren't knocking back $100.
What I can say to anyone, if that happens, always accept the amount that it tells you straight away.
And then go again.
And then you're on and then you go again.
Go again.
Hopefully,
And it just kept dropping. I'm just going, oh, Jesus Christ, all I want to get is set. You got blokes lining up behind you trying to get on the same machine, telling you to hurry up.
That's true, yeah. Okay, no, look.
They were probably dealing with Darwin, Perth, first race at the trot somewhere, a dog race, somewhere.
No,
the,
I find it in your favour, Kano.
During the day.
Got it. Quick one. Josh Fleming joins us throughout the Brisbane Winter Racing Carnival. Josh, this question comes from Craig. Hey, boys. Josh, I had Order Again as my best bet of the year. Thought was ordinary run. Where is it heading next, Craig?
He'll be going towards the Derby. And speaking of the Eagle Farm track, he's had a comprehensive victory on that track. So that's going to stand him in good stead. He had to go back from the outside gate. He didn't have much room at one point. He hit the line okay behind Shocking Luck. Well, Shocking Luck won the race fair and square, there's no doubt. But he raced right the mile and a half's going to suit him, Order Again. And the big tick for him, Craig, is that he's won at Eagle Farm on that track. So I think he's a big chance in the Derby. And he may well follow a similar path as to what the Queensland horse did last year, Eagle Way, who won it. So I think he's in the race up to his ears.
And this one from Shannon, Josh. He says, guys, impending, heading towards the Stradbroke. Question mark.
We'll get maybe Andrew onto that one. I think he's up and running, so it'll be interesting. I don't know.
He's a $26 chance in the Stradbroke, and talking about Order Again.
Yeah.
He currently sits second pick in the Derby. Prized Icon, Shocking Luck, equal picks at 5 over Order Again at 6.
When you think about the most impressive winner, Josh, out of Doomben, I probably reckon good standing for James Cummings was super good.
Yeah, Yep, yep. Lovely ride by Damien Brown. Got in a perfect spot. Look, the race was over at the top of the straight. Raced away to win. Look, I'm a goose not tipping the horse, plain and simple, because I tossed up between tipping him, Morton's Fork, and Hall of Fame. He was just the best horse in the race, good standing. He was only beaten, what, two or three lengths into McKinnon Stakes? So yeah. Just outclassed him. Obviously, Dufford Hawkesbury had no luck off the bad gate. He worked hard there. Had a softer run there at Doomben the other day. Perfect ride by Damien Brown, and he was never going to lose. He's going to the Fred Best. And then he'll head towards the Queensland Guineas, and he'll be very hard to beat in both.
Did Fred Best used to be at Doomben 1350?
Yeah.
And now it's at Eagle Farm, I think.
Yeah. I'll just check that.
Didn't one of Gay's win a Fred Best and was going to become favourite for the Stratton?
Yeah. Hang on. Stan. Yeah, that was Najum. The Fred Best. Najum, let me have a look, boys. Got to find it here. Fred Best is at Eagle Farm. Eagle Farm, 1400. Yeah, it was Doomben last year, definitely.
It's 1400 at Eagle Farm.
1400 at the farm, yep.
Let's get back to the open line. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Just a question for Munzee.
Yes, mate.
Munzee, I ran across a secondary tote or a third tote the other day. Global tote. Is that you, or do you know anything about that? The best of the best.
I've
four coats offered.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but it's not ours. I've heard about it. I don't know what the makeup of it is as such, but I have heard about it.
So the pools have got absolutely nothing to do with what we currently get quoted?
No. It'd be a separate tote, so that pooling is completely separate to ours. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's only recent. I think it's the last few weeks it's maybe come about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's a new thing.
Yes.
It's going to be across all the corporates or you both.
Well, liquidity is going to be the key. You know, how much liquidity you get in there, I've got no idea.
Right. Yeah.
So the market's running you, because I think they offered it the first time I saw it down at Warrnambool the other week.
Right. I think that's where they launched, Brad. I think that was their launch down there, so it's just another product out there. So,
Boys, good to see the Herald's back working. Chris Roots has sent me a message, Comrade Roots, impending, definitely heading to the Stratty.
Okay, good news there for our listener. Let's get to Lenny. Hi, Lenny.
Yes, is that you, Josh?
Josh is up there, yep.
I am here. Hey, Lenny.
G'day, mate. It's all I want to say. I'm going to take you back 60 years.
Yeah, but
what it is, I want to know if you're related to Mr. Fleming, that lived down in First Street, Barkhorn, and he was a good shearer.
I lived in First Street, Barkhorn, when I was in primary school.
Well, there was only one street.
Turn it up. It's not that. There's about 30 streets.
I'm sure you're related somewhere along the line.
They are, I think it was. All the streets were named after trees.
Correct. We lived in a few different houses. We lived in Oak Street, First Street, U Street, and Gidgee Street.
What did you
keep? Got to pay your rent occasionally, John.
Acacia Street. Five years.
Wild
house
duck.
Just kept getting repossessed.
Squatting.
What was his name, Lenny?
He was a good shearer.
Okay.
By shearing some wet sheep, the acid out the wool got into his legs and buggered him up. He couldn't shear anymore.
Oh, rightio.
And I was with Harry Owens that lived next door to him in First Street. Old Harry Owens was a contract master, and I used to work on Barkhorn and Downs and the Home Creek and all those properties out there.
Yep.
And I remember he had a good sense of humour, this Mr. Fletcher. And one morning I said, "Well, gee, it's hot today, Mr. Fletcher." He said, "I'll say it is, Lenny." He said, "I just got sunburned sitting in the kitchen eating me breakfast."
Very good.
I thought you must have. Was you related to him?
Not that I know of, but
you got money.
Maybe ring, because they say you come from Barkhorn. So.
I do, yeah. Look, I'll have to ring. I might ring Mum today and see if she can shed any light. But not that I know of, Lenny, but that's it. It's not impossible that
Lenny,
I am. I'd have
Lenny.
To make inquiries.
I just couldn't remember his first name, but he led. They're all drovers in there.
Yep.
Laurie O'Toole and Herb Humler and Darcy Bay. They're all contract drovers.
Mate, they're all related somehow there. Don't worry, Lenny.
Yeah. Look, you revive some old memories of some of the surnames just rattled off there. There are a couple of O'Toole's horse trainers and...
That was them.
Yep. Neville O'Toole. Yep.
All right. Good on you.
Good on you, Lenny.
I've done 5 years on and off going out. I lived down in Lidcombe in Sydney, but I used to go out there and work out there because I was a good horseman, to break horses and everything.
Yep.
And... There were seven pubs in Barkhorn that day down the one street.
Yes.
And you had to be careful what you said there because there was that many relations you didn't know who you was mixing with.
Exactly, right.
That's true. Good on you, Lenny. Nice to hear from you, mate.
On you, Lenny. Thanks, mate.
Did they have running numbers in First Street, Josh, or did they have, you know, 1-3 and there's only one side of the street, or was there two?
No, houses on both sides. Yeah. Right.
And did you ever visit the Tree of Knowledge there?
Well, when it was there, I did, yeah. Well, it got poisoned and it died. There's a monument in the main street of town now. To the tree, yeah. Well, that was the Labor Party was formed under the tree many years ago on the Great Shearers' Strike. There was a conspiracy theory that someone from one of the neighbouring towns went and poisoned the tree.
Tony Abbott.
But anyway, there's a monument there, and it's replaced where the tree used to be. So
there you go.
So were you house flipping in Barcold and you moved that often?
squatting. It was the first Airbnb.
Unbelievable. What about that? What about this?
They lived in every house in town.
Welcome to the show, Josh. I can tell you. Hello, let's keep taking some calls. Hello, Mick.
Hello, Terry. How's it going, mate?
Very well, thanks, Mick.
Both Josh and Duff. what could Damien Brown have done on Fell Swoop? Nothing, obviously, Josh. But
no.
He did take off about around the back there at Doomben, and I thought, hello.
He's
got to drop out here on the straight. I feel sorry for the connections, although what I've got to do is stop backing horses in with wide barriers. But he did finish up $5. But
there was good money for him.
He's won some good races. Well, not one of them. He's put in some good runs, hasn't he?
I don't know whether he will win a Group 1.
He's very unlucky. I mean, he should have won an Oakley Plate. He got caught in that speed battle in the 10,000 last year. He was that wide there on Saturday. He was nearly on the motorway, so... very unlucky horse.
I think he's pulled up with an issue too. He's got to be scared.
He's been up a long time, hasn't he, Duff?
Yeah, he has. You know, I read somewhere this morning that I'm sure that
slight ligament strain, Duff.
Yeah, okay.
That's no good.
Yeah, yes. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
Geez, our listeners are our best researchers here, aren't they?
No doubt. Yeah.
And so, thanks, boss. Before I go, Terry, can I talk to Duff?
Yeah, of course
Fickle
you can.
Polly, I thought would be better. Run, but apparently she's in a bit of a traffic jam. What did you think?
No, she's a nice filly. She only resumed there. She had a big weight, Fickle Folly, and she'll improve off that, Mick. Stick with her. She's in the right race at this time of year. Okay, look, that's without aiming too high. Don't be worried about that run. It was all right.
Now, I noticed that you sometimes tip horses with wide barriers. It depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, speed horses from wide barriers is a big tick for me, not a negative.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that in the last race on Saturday.
That works if they've got that speed, can shoot across and lead.
Take your time.
Take your time.
Good on you, boys.
Yeah, you know, good on you, Mick. I don't like bad barriers, but yeah, if you're a speed horse, it's a bit different, Duff, isn't it?
Completely different. They're all individual.
And different starts. All different scenarios.
Different races. Yeah.
Well, look at Hoots in the millions.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it become a better thing drawing wide.
Exactly. What about this win on the weekend? France, last to first in the English Guineas, now off to Brisbane with the Snowdons, and it won like Burnborough.
Yeah, he's always had a bit of a rap on him, and look, I'm interested in him because if he can reproduce that performance, like they're cooking with gas. He was very good there on Saturday, and that's the first time they've rode him cold, and it seemed to really work. So he beat a pretty good field, Prized Icon. Very hard to run Prized Icon down.
He gave Prized Icon a couple of bumps, didn't he?
No, it was more Prized Icon shifting out.
Oh, was it more Prized? Okay.
Well, Calander gave him a bump first up. His stable mate, that was probably 300 from home.
I thought he was a bit unlucky, Calander, again.
Well, yeah, he's getting to that stage now. You know, two runs in a row, he hasn't had a great deal of luck. Mm. Yeah, but Calander ran into France probably 300 from home, and then France gave Calander a bit of a short nup only because Prized Icon shifted out near the line. Mm. And I think Glenn Schofield got time for the Prized Icon ride.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see if a horse can win like that. If they can kick on, we'll squeeze Mark in if we can. Hi, Mark.
Hey, okay, Terry, how are you, mate?
Well, very well, thanks, mate.
Mate, I'm inquiring about XD as a chance to run in the Stradbroke. I know I read a tweet from Andrew Bensley the other day that it's been set to attach Tiara. But having a look at the form of La Montagna when it won as a three-year-old filly with 48.5 kilos, and this horse has got form against Impending, Fell Swoop in the trial, if you saw the trial, winning Rubit in the Magic Million race up at the Gold Coast. I'm thinking if she gets in the Stradbroke with about 47.5 or 48 kilos with the right barrier, whether Kirk Goldman might have a go at the Stradbroke, you know, because I read an article when he trained Hell Bent. If you ever saw the article, he rated this filly close to her.
Okay.
And I know, you know, Hell Bent's a very smart horse. I was just wondering whether it could be a good throw at the dice. I've actually backed XD on the Unitab at 100 to 1. So I am talking through my kick. If she got a start, that sort of weight.
Okay.
That's the wording. That's the wording. If she got a start.
Yeah, if.
Yeah, she'd be way down in the order of entry there. So that's the. I would have rather them gone the Stradbroke path with a horse like Good Standing, to tell you the truth. I thought maybe he would be a three-year-old that would run well in a Stradbroke.
Right. Thanks, Mark, for your call. Good luck with that bet, too. Juicy odds. Just got a fingers crossed to get a start there with Eckstein. One to follow, Duff?
Yeah, tough day for that. Maybe that Deploy, he won four straight last prep. I thought he resumed pretty well there on Saturday.
Okay. I got one to sack.
Yeah, you've always got one
Old to North.
Oh, yeah, Life.
Oh, no, don't ever do that. No, no, I'd stay on his back, boys. No, he's been a very, very good horse.
He's Naida. Naida was disappointing. Russian Revolution, they've got a few to sack. Dino, one to follow.
Neverland goes up for the Brisbane Cup, I'd imagine. She's ticking over beautifully for Darren Weir. Just got to get up there now.
Okay. Glenn, you got one?
Only because we're going to concentrate on Brisbane, TK. Don't sack Billy the Kid. Josh, he just put his head down right at the wrong time when they let him go on in that race behind Good Standing, and he still ran very, very well.
Josh, you got one to follow?
I tipped horse called Payroll, and I thought it was an eye-catching run. It just got too far back and hit the line very well late. It was well beaten in the end to be beaten four lengths, so I just like the way it hit the line late. I know it's looking for a bit further. Did run third to Stratum Star in the Magic Millions, a staying race back in January. So it's got the ability, and it was an eye-catcher late, so just watch it for a little bit later on when it gets over further Payroll.
And Josh, we've got one of your landlords from Balcaldon back on the line here.
It's Balcaldon.
Good on you, Josh, good to have you on board, mate.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
He's actually in his broadcast box, isn't he, in Brisbane? Not back at Barcaldon.
Sunny Coast.
On the Sunny Coast, up on the Sunny Coast. Beautiful part of the world. Thanks to Josh. Thanks to Glenn Munsey. Thanks to Dean Lester, as always, and Roddy Duffsey. Have a great punting week, everybody. That was Punters Post Morning for this Monday morning.